Welcome to the Tales of Africa podcast with your host, Richmond Setrana. Today, I have someone in our studio with a very interesting story to tell. So I think his story makes up for one of the greatest survival stories in history. But before we delve into the juiciest part of the conversation, I would like him to introduce himself and then what he does, and then we can proceed from there. So welcome to our studio, Harrison Okene. It's an honor to have you.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Harrison Okene, the man who survived just gone 4 shipwreck. And today I am a professional commercial diver. So thank you.
Yes, Harrison. Thank you so much. So yes, you've gone viral on social media. I know you've granted a lot of interviews. You've been on YouTube. You've been all over the place telling your story. But I want my listeners to also hear it from your own mouth. Okay. So what happened? How come you were trapped under the bottom of the ocean for 3 days? What exactly happened?
What actually happened is that the people that will understand the story very well, we is those people, those mariners, those sailors. They understand what it takes to sail and to do some sailing operation in the sea. Friday afternoon, we tie up to this tanker, which is that May 26. So we tied up to this tanker, we were there, we were loading. The very first day, it was successful. The second day, Saturday, it was successful. It was 10 minutes to 5 in the morning on Sunday. I was even going to the bathroom. Let me just go in the toilet. The next thing I saw was the turning upside down. Wow. So the whole guys were shouting. So I was there. My head went down. WC was up. The next thing I knew, the WC fell on my head and my head was bleeding. I was trying to open the door, struggling. No way. The whole place is blackout. I managed to open the door. So I saw one of the guys' phone reflection of the phone lights. So I went towards that direction. I met them in the water tide on there. They were trying to go outside the deck. But they could not because this water tide door and the doors were all secured because of pirates. So we don't leave them open. We always keep them closed. There's only one door that's always open, which is the door at the wheelhouse. So it's only that one that is open. So we couldn't go out. So they were struggling to go out and the water came and the wheelhouse is already down. The bottom of the vessel has turned upside down. So the propeller were up, wow. The wheelhouse is down. So the water that came from the vent and the door that is open in the wheelhouse. So the water just came from there. So we were trying to open it. The water just came from our foot and flooded us up.
I see.
So I asked myself, I said, I'm going to struggle with these guys here. I have to swim inside and look for a way to catch a breath. So I swim inside. As I swim inside, the swell, which is the force of the water, pushed me into a toilet. And it happens to be the second engineer's toilet. So I was there until the vessel got to the seabed, which is 33 meters deep. Then when I was there, I heard the guys shouting, other guys were shouting. And the propeller, the anchors were throwing on the boats like that. So I knew I was on the seabed. So I was like, wow. So I was just like shouting until you get to an end by. Couldn't hear the guys again. Everybody was getting silent one after the other. So I was trying to open the door. I couldn't open the door of that toilet. So I went, I looked at the vent. So I saw that the second engineer's cabin, there's this sort of space of about 1.5 meter space. So one and a half meter space. So I went there, I was there. So I saw a life jacket there. So I tried to make use of it, but it has already come in contact with diesel. So floater has melted. So it's of no use. So I was just struggling. I was just struggling there to see how I could be able to manage myself. So I tried to go through the water tide door. So I tried to go out. I tried more than 10 times. I could not. And in that process, I want to even lost my way. And if I lost my way, I would drown. So I have to get the coveralls in there, tear them, make a rope. So I'll tie it in the cabin I was. So if I'm out of breath, I will put the rope and I'll be dragging myself down to back to that cabin where I can go to have some breath. I went back and I said, God, it's your will. Let it come to pass. So I keep praying, worshiping. Because the only person I know that can rescue me of that situation is only God. Because it's not something that a man can come there and help me. So it's only God I believe in that can do that. For me. So I keep praying. Because before I got the job, I prayed about the job. I dreamt the job came. And really, it came. So even before I got to that location to do that job, I was in Port Harcourt before to work. And in a boat, in a dry dock. So I was cross-posted to that place. And I finished my days on board. So it was my reliever to come and relieve me. He said, he's not feeling fine. He could come. And I should say 1 week extra. Okay. And that's what I was doing before we got the incident. So I was there. So I was praying. I was praying seriously. I prayed to an extent. I stopped praying. I started worshiping because I believe in God. Because he is the only person that have seen me through in my life, that knows my beginning and my end and my footsteps and things I do in my life. You understand? Because if it don't guide myself, or if I didn't see anything, I don't go for it, because I know it's not the will of God in my life. So, and actually I've dreamt of this incident, but in the incident, I survived, I didn't die. And the same place I found myself, and the same situation I find myself. So the dream reflect back to me again. So I started praising God, worshiping. So I've been there for a very long time, weak, no oxygen again. I would pour the water on my chest to revive myself. And I was alive in there, and the crayfish were eating me live. Hey. Like mosquito, they were biting me, eating my ass, my leg, my stomach.
Wow.
So I was there. So I was struggling for life.
Struggling.
Telling you. So at the end of the day, I heard a sound outside the vessel.
We'll come to how you were saying, but let me ask this. So at that point in time, okay, when you were being eaten by fish alive, you were so cold, I'm sure you thought you never knew how you're going to get out of this. Okay, what was going through your mind at that moment? You do think you're going to survive this?
The first thing that got in my mind, that this is, I'm going to die because I have access to nothing, and the whole world became nothing to me.
Mm.
Then I started understanding the world, when you preach the gospel to people, that what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Mm.
In there, I was just like, wow, I'm missing my wife. How will my wife live when I'm no longer alive? You understand? I keep praying. But to understand, I started worshiping. So when I heard the sound, I believed that something is about to happen. So I went down the vessel and I got the water dispenser. I removed the filter from it and I started banging on the iron plate of the vessel, hitting the vessel, like in the means of transferring signal to anybody that is outside the vessel. So not knowing that there was a diver that came to place a marker boy on the vessel to know the spot that the vessel sank.
Okay.
So that was what they were doing. So I didn't know. But every operation that goes on the surface of the water, I understand that he hears them on the water, so knows the vessels around.
Okay.
So that's how I was coping then. And those are the things that was running through my mind, because for me, a lot of things was coming to my mind, like, something was like saying, why did you call your ancestors, your father, your mother? I was like, salvation is personal. At this stage I am in my life, I know it's a Christian. The only person that can help me, that I can lay my voice to, I can call upon, is God. And I know he would do it. So, and he's the one I was only calling. So I kill those thoughts in me and focus on Christ. So that was the things that was running through my mind.
That's really profound. And I'm sure at that point in time, when you're thinking about your family, you realize that when it comes down to, when life becomes very critical, what matters to you are the people around you, your friends or family, those that you have meaningful relationships with. And material things mean nothing to you at that point in time.
Yes, because you know, at that moment in time, you understand that, like I keep telling people, I don't work for myself alone.
Okay.
I work for my family, I work for friends, I work for sister, brothers, nephews, friends, like that. Because when I get paid, they knew I get paid. And they start bringing their issues one after the other.
Mm.
And I can say no, that I can help. I keep helping with the little I can, I would do. So at that time, I was just also asking myself, how would they cope?
So that was like 3 days. Your family hadn't heard from you, right?
When I was there, there's no communication. The whole world was useless before me.
Okay.
The whole world was useless before me. No phone, nothing. Just in the water, looking at the dark from morning to night. I don't even know whether it's the day, whether it's night. I don't know. The whole place was just dark. So I never knew if anything was existing. In fact, the whole world was useless. There's no way to communicate with anybody. So it's like being in the grave, being buried in a grave. Wow. You understand? You have access to nothing.
So per your own calculations, how long do you think you were under the water? I think when you came out, they told you you've been there for almost 3 days. But how long do you think you were there?
Yeah, when I came out from the water, then I came out the third day, 10:30 in the night.
Okay.
So when I checked the time, the boat got sunk. And that time, it becomes 3 days.
Okay.
Exactly 3 days.
Wow.
Under the seabed, which is 72 hours.
Wow. So how long do you think you spent there? When you were struggling, trying to, you know, survive, how long was it for you?
When I was there, I never knew the time. I was just thinking in me that it's just it.
Okay.
I never knew I've been there for 3 days. That's going to 3 days.
I see. Wow. So how did you survive this?
I will tell you, it's the grace of God. Because the grace of God was just sufficient for me, because I'm not the most righteous or the most holy or the most Christian or the one that is more close to God or whatsoever. Mm. I'm not the best swimmer. I can't even classify myself as one thing, you understand, because God is the judge. You understand me?
Yes, I understand you.
But I was just surprised that I was the survivor among the 12 personnel that was on board. Because if you bring the 12 personnel, I think I'm the one that is less experienced or skill in swimming.
I see. Oh, wow. So I think divers were sent to recover dead bodies, right?
The vessel nothing float. It was only a piece of papers that was floating. So they said, we are all gone. That nobody can survive it for even 2 hours. That we are all gone. That they should forget about us. But the company said, and get the spanners, the diseases. Go and bring them, the dead bodies. We can give the dead bodies to the family. Okay. So when the divers got there, they got the first dead body. They got the second dead body. They got the third one. The fourth one, the guy was searching when I saw the diver. So I swim towards him and tap him. And he was so scared. He was running away. But I was still following him underwater. I couldn't breathe, but I was still following him underwater. For a while until he found out I was alive, he came close to me. And he was talking to me in terms of signal. So I should not be scared.
This is a very, very interesting experience. When it was going viral on social media, people were saying this is false story. This is not true. It's not possible.
You know, I saw the messages. It's not true. It's a fake story. I was just laughing because I know those people, they are not mariners. They've not worked in the sea. They don't have experience about what's going on. That's why they are saying that. And I won't blame them because a lot has been going on social media. So we have a lot of false stories from bloggers and the rest like that. So they wouldn't really believe. Because actually, when I even told a pastor of a church, okay. So he was even saying that if it's black magic that I use, did they even know? So I told him, I said, go and bring the ancestors in your village. Tell them that they should go and rescue you and you should go there and rescue yourself. I said, you would die within a minute. Nothing will ever bring you back to life. I said, even though my ancestors can't even rescue me in that place because I know very well. So what I have ancestors, I don't believe in ancestors, actually. So whether people believe in ancestors, I don't care. But I keep telling him, if it's your ancestors, go there, you will die within a minute. So I was just like, why will a man of God be saying like this? Later on, they finally believe that it's true.
Okay. So how has your life changed since this incident?
Yeah, the incident actually has taught me a lot of things.
Okay.
I live like every day is my last day on earth. I do my best to please my friends, family, live at peace, happiness with them. I don't have enemy. I don't get angry. I finally understand that when you are no more on earth, what people say about you on earth matters a lot, which is the people you are dear to, ones you do good to, the ones you favor the life. What they say about you is very paramount. It's very important. When somebody dies, when people say that wicked one, you're going to die again. It's not a good comment because you are wicked, because you are bad. You are not a good person on earth. But when people keep saying that, oh, if everybody die, I believe one person will survive and it's this guy that will survive. It's a good word. And when I came out, more than 10 persons keep saying this from their mouths, from different states in Nigeria that have met with me, that have known me. They keep saying it, that if everybody would die, Arisi will survive.
Wow.
Arisi cannot die. Wow. And really, when I came out, even in my company was saying that, you guys saying rubbish, everybody have died. My other brother walked to them and told them that they should go and search that one person will survive, that Arisi will not die, Arisi will survive.
Thank you.
And they were surprised that, why is this guy so brave saying these words? And actually, when it happens, a word came to pass. So I believe God was seriously watching over me because his grace was sufficient for me.
I think you have family and friends, people who are dear to you, people who love you, and people who believe in you. And it makes all the difference.
Of course.
Wow. So, you know, your story actually reminds me of Dorcas in the Bible, you know, when she died and then the widows and all that, they went to show Peter the dresses that she made for them and all that kind of thing. And then she was raised back to life. So I think because people look up to you, people rely on you and you do good to people, people know that when death comes knocking at the door, you are somebody who cannot be taken away, just like Dorcas in the Bible. And it's very interesting. So let me ask you this next question, okay? So what advice will you have for anyone who finds themselves in a life or death situation, just like you did?
You know, I'll tell you something that people don't understand in this life.
Okay.
There are so many secret killers in this life. And the secret killers are panic.
Okay.
Fear of the unknown. You understand?
Yes.
Some people, they find themselves in a situation they've not even thought or tried to encourage themselves to struggle through the situation or to fight through the situation, they will just give up immediately. And when you embrace fear, your BP shoots up. Your whole body system changes immediately. Your thinking faculty changes immediately. You don't think right anymore.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yes.
But at that moment, I found myself there. I composed myself to the minimum whereby I don't even shout. I was so calm. Like, I know if it's death, I will die. Mm. I know if life permits, I will survive. You see, people that is dying of this pandemic, many of them, only the word that they will hear from the doctor that you have corona.
That's true.
50% of them have died already. So when you even give them medication, it wouldn't work because they know already that they will die because they've already embraced fear, panic in them already. So that, my advice for them is that they should be brave, courageous in life. It is not over until it's over. The encounter in life, except God said it will happen or it will come to pass before it will.
Okay. So Harrison, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I think this has been a very interesting segment and we've really learned a lot. Your story has really inspired me, has given me hope and then a renewed sense of faith. So do you have any last words for our listeners? Maybe shout outs to maybe family, friends, your pastor, whoever has stood by you in that difficult period of your life, whatever. What last words do you have to say generally?
Yeah, for me, keep telling people I'm an inspiration to people and my inspiration doesn't stop. I keep pushing ahead. Like, people surprised today, I became a diver. I'm still going back the sea. I'm still diving. I'm still going under the sea. That's my job. That's my profession for the year. And I'm now going for a course to achieve the deepest dive of my life.
Wow. Embracing the fear.
So I keep telling them that they should be brave. They should not be put down by any situation in life. Tomorrow is better than today. What the future has for them is better, greater, better than what they are experiencing today. They shouldn't give up with any small thing, with anything that happens in their life. If I can be pushing up like this, they should do better than me.
All right, Harrison, God bless you so much. God bless you for joining us today. Okay. And then I think our listeners have really been inspired. And then to our listeners, I'll urge you to continue, you know, listening to our podcast, subscribe to our channels on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. On Facebook, we are Tales of Africa. Instagram, we are Official Tales of Africa. And then on Twitter, we are Africa Tales. Subscribe to our podcast and stay tuned for more amazing content about Africa. Thank you so much for joining us and we'll catch you another time. Bye-bye.